We'll pick up the ball on that. All right. Yeah, there's some other things that that came up during the week too, Rick, but we'll save them for, we got a couple of quiet weeks yet to come after we wrap up this weekend. So let's turn our attention to the action and take us anywhere you want to go. More Saturday than today, if you could.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll start with the Belmont real quick. I've been, looking around up and down everywhere, and you know what? I'm gonna hope that the Preakness winner runs with his tail on fire again, Rombauer. I he's reached his peak, and who's to say that he needs to regress at all? He's not a deep closer. He doesn't have to be. And, I'm always afraid of those kind at Belmont. Of course, hey, going a mile and a half, good. Let's, start last and see if we can end up first. Doesn't happen that way. He can lay close enough. And why can't he repeat what he did in the Preakness? So I like, I like Rombauer. I like him. What's that?
Why not?
Why not?
I don't disagree.
It's the same thing. Just number wise, I like him over the 2 and the 6. Essential quality and known agenda a little bit. Jimmy said in he likes Rock Your World. I'm a little concerned with he's 4 starts. I know that's not that big a deal anymore. I'm just concerned with that. Did not, had a reason in the Derby for running bad, but you know what? That goes with experience, and I don't know if he has enough experience. So I'm not on Rock Your World that much. Hot Rod Charlie, I think he's going to run his race again. I think he'll be tough and essential quality, but I think there's enough for Rombauer to go after. And you know what? I think he's fine. Johnny takes over the reins, and I think he might be dismissed a little bit at the windows even. What is he in the program? 3-1? Maybe you get 7-2 on him or something. We'll see. I've got no problem saying, hey, why not? Let's go back and let's do the hit the repeat button. I don't see a problem
sense.
With it.
Makes sense. I think there's plenty to like. I'm gonna end up picking him second, but I'm leaning on him with equal weight in all the multi-race wagers.
Yeah. Going backwards, I do like a couple of the obvious ones. I mean, yeah, I tell you what, with all these races, some are a lot tougher than others, even some of the races today, and, you don't have to pick them all. We got to know, sometimes know when to stop, but... I liked Bye Bye Melvin last time. I didn't in the dinner party. Yeah, but I don't know if he's good enough. I'm leaning Domestic Spending and Gufo there. A couple of the obvious ones that seem to just give it every time. Not hoping that they run a good one, knowing that they will, and maybe he'll like I said, a couple of the obvious ones to lean on there. Hopefully, not have to go too deep in some of these races. The Met. I went back and forth crazy for this race. Nick's Go looks kind of tough. Coming off that last win, I'm looking for a little bit of a reason not to play him. Silver State, after spending the winter at Oaklawn, is an obvious, kind of a favorite horse. He really knows where the wire is. He's won, 5 in a row? As soon as they cross the wire, the Mercedes is in the paddock. Thinking Met Mile. I mean, this is where he was going. So that's always a good thing. And then I got to Dr. Post. I think I like Dr. Post a little bit. I liked the prep last time, a nice easy prep. He's got a nice run against Mystic Guide. Some of these horses have won, but you look back behind them and you say, whoa, they didn't beat a whole lot. Not that Dr. Post did, but he seems to be coming into it just right. And Todd sure knows what to do here. So I snuck in on him, which he kind of came out of nowhere. But after overstudying, he jumped off the page at me. So we got Dr. Post there. The race before, that's a tough one, the Just the Game. And it does every year. So I'm going to take a price in here. I kind of liked I like Tamer of the one of the Chad Browns. You know, I'm looking at Always Shopping. I'm learning now, like everyone else, that Todd can train a turf horse.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes you just mentally go through there and you go, Todd surf for this, forget that. And over the past few years and over the past few months and weeks, he's shown us that he's fine. So I used to, you know, maybe steer away, but not anymore. So keep your eye on that. I still have not figured that race out, to tell you the truth. The Ogden Stiffs, what I heard, just woke up this morning to hear that Swift Skydivers out.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it just shows how tough it is to get all these horses together, you know, once. I once again was going to hit the repeat button anyway, with Latruska, meaning, I mean, had a tough, hard race. I think this is one of these type of horses that thrives on that, that thrives on the action and wants it. Look at, she's won 13 out of 18 starts. You got to want to run for that stuff. A lot of the fillies in here have won, 50% of their runs, and that's why they're in these races. But who's going to ride her? Do we hear?
Not yet.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, we want to go back and hit the button and watch the last race. I mean, I read was a big part of getting her to the finish line first, and but she thrives on it. She likes to be there. She likes to run. She likes to be a part of the action. So I have no problem looking at her right back, and she dares the devil. I'm not going to mention the BS word, Bonnie South.
It's too late. Like, that train left the station.
Exactly, we can forget it.
It
was funny. I heard you mention. I looked down, and I have a little question mark by it, so I don't even want to go there. But I'm Latrusking. It's funny. I picked the horses, and then I go back and look at the odds, and you know, obviously, I knew she was going to be one of the choices. But you know what? Sometimes you look for too much these days, and figure, hey, let's go for the bombs, and they don't every race doesn't necessarily have to be a bomb. But in the Jaipur, now here's a race where I am looking for maybe a little bit of some kind of a price. I like Casa Creed in there a little bit. I'm going to use. I like Mott. He did that. What was the name? I was trying to think of the name of that horse 2, 3, 4 years ago. That was running along, and then he shortened him up, and ended up winning sprints everywhere, even internationally. I couldn't think of the name of the horse.
A Mott trainee.
Yeah. He'd come up with it. I don't have a colder feeling, but I remember him winning. I think he won the Twilight Derby out here, and I remember getting my picture taken. And next thing you know, he's running his sprints and winning.
Huh.
Yeah. A few years ago, it'll come up with it when I get off. I'll think about it. But anyway, I like the California horses, Gregorian Chant and some Bay. Of Peter Miller on the outside, and of course Bound for Nowhere. So I got 4 or 5 horses in there. We're gonna play around the Acorn. I heard you mention the filly Miss Brazil the other day, and you know she's got some things. Next thing you know, you might look up and she might be up by 4 or 5 Turner for home. I'm gonna throw her in there to save her. I like Mott right back again. I'm going to all these repeat horses, obligatory. I think she'll have plenty to run at. She ran a great race in the 8 Bells, of course, and coming across some of these, obviously Chad Brown's filly, Search Results, the horse to beat, no question about it. But maybe can have a little bit taken out of her, and obligatory can pull the same thing and come from out of it. So. Those are some of the horses that I've been looking at. I look down. I like some Shug horses. I like some Mott horses too. I give Nova Rags a shot, and Woody Stevens as well at a price.
A lot of people that's become a bit of a mojo. By the way, the horse you're thinking of is Long on Value.
Long on Value. Okay, right.
Yeah, ended up, I think, with Brad Cox at a point in his and the later in his. I don't know if he went through a horse a racing age sale or what. He's standing down in Florida. I know somewhere because I saw that he's got. I think he's got weanlings or his career started as a stallion recently.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good. Because yeah. I remember that, just that drastic change. And, hey, look, you're talking, Bill Mott here. He can figure horses out better than anybody. And when he makes a change like that, pay attention. But this horse looks like he might be, of the same, could do the same thing. And I always like that horse anyway. So we'll take the we always like the distance horses cutting back anyway in these kind of sprints. So anyway, that's the day. I'm really bummed that we're not there and having fun with you and everybody else in the crowd, and happy to get ready to get back to some live racing, so to speak. Not where we're having fun and not working. Not that we're not having fun when we're working, but looking forward to that. But like I said, I traded in Belmont for another week in Saratoga. So really looking forward to. I'll be in New York next month. Fantastic. The end of July. So looking forward to this and kind of getting our mind away from other things and concentrating on what's happening on the track. And that's what this weekend's all about.
Well, Hammer, I appreciate it. We had some things come up during the week. We'll save those. I was going to ask you a little bit about the Andy Beyer thoughts about changing the Triple Crown. So plant that seed in the back of your mind.
Well, let me tell you a little bit of note on that. I have had the domain name change the Triple Crown for 15 years. Okay,
that's right? Funny.
I used to kind of trade those a little bit and come up with stuff and whatever. So I had that name. Oh gosh, right when you could buy domain names, I used to get a ton of them anyway. So I had that, and then with all the talk coming up, and hey, if anybody out there wants to take this and go with it and start a site and have stuff going on out there where people talking back and forth, DM me. We can work something out. So then along comes American Pharoah, and he wins, and then Justify. So I let it go. And then it kind of started talking about it about a little bit ago, so I went back on and got it again. So I'm telling you, I have no problem discussing it, and I got some crazy ideas about it, so we can do that another time. But, it's just when you guys were talking about change the Triple Crown, I go, what if that's still available? So I went back and got it earlier.
Oh, that's great. So you jumped on one of the domain sites and grabbed it again.
Grabbed it again, yeah, it's pretty funny. So anyway, but we can do that later. But, I'd love to get into a discussion about that because I've had thoughts for years about it. But anyway... great day. Safe rides for everybody, and we'll see you soon.
Hammer, thanks. Enjoy it. Best of luck. Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go. And away he goes. I'm sorry that we didn't have him sitting right here along with Jimmy Ventura. I thought there was a chance that Tom Law would be sitting here as well. I kind of saved Tom instead of having him yesterday, kind of saved Tom for today for our conversations. This is horseracing.com, Saratoga special. In fact, yeah, the title of the visits of the Clancys and Tom Law is gonna morph. It'll become Saratoga Special Visits soon enough. But Tom's not coming down from Saratoga until tomorrow. Those are when the major festivities are, Tom. So I guess I understand that.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately not going to make it till tomorrow. I just had some business to take care of up here, and got a little bit held up and. I'm kind of sad to miss the card today. It's always one of my favorite days of the year, kind of the day before the Belmont, the day before the, craziness kicks in. We'll have to see what it's going to be like tomorrow, but I'll be tuned in. We got our man Paul Halloran, who's a great contributor, a great addition to our team, helped us out a couple summers ago at Saratoga and has continued on. So he's on the ground, so we're this is horse racing will be represented in person and obviously in spirit.
Exactly. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, let's talk. I did see that you, you've got analysis up for today for those that want to build their bankroll. At send the link. This is horseracing.com, and in fact, you've got a survey of all the staff members, which is nice actually. That you know, you can follow your favorite.
Yeah, we really did a team approach this year. We rolled it out for Kentucky Oaks Day and Kentucky Derby Day. We have eight handicappers, which is a pretty strong group. We have our usual team from the Saratoga Special, John Chapazian leading the way there and crushing a bunch of winners during Saratoga, and he's been pretty good during the Triple Crown. And then Joe, Sean, and I. We normally do our steeplechase picks as well throughout the season. And we also have Jessica Paquette, who's doing some race calling this weekend down in Sam Houston. We've kind of added her to the team for this summer at Saratoga in a regular spot. And then Paul Halloran as well, who I mentioned earlier. He's also doing picks. So it's a pretty close battle for the leading handicapper on This Is Horse Racing this year. And, yeah, certainly good opportunities today, five stakes. And then, you know, I was just kind of digging into tomorrow's card myself right here this morning. But, yeah, good opportunities to pad that bankroll today, including the New York stakes. Man, it's, like, loaded. I keep thinking about the race and how loaded it is.
Well, I want to focus on Saturday because, of course, the replay tomorrow morning, 5 to 8 on here on Sirius XM. But what'd you come up with eventually and ultimately in the New York?
In the New York, you know, I picked against, you know, I don't know if picking against her is such a strong statement, but Mean Mary, I did pick against her. I loved her comeback in the Gallarette at Pimlico. 3 weeks ago, I ended up picking Civil Union in here. You know, a little bit of a price. Her last was not very good at all. But, you know, she's run well at Belmont. I think the longer trip suits her a little bit better. Maybe I was shopping for a price. I do think Harvey's Little Goyle is the horse to beat. Her comeback was very strong, and you know, she's been super competitive in all of her races. But I was looking for maybe Civil Union to bounce back to, you know, her form that won her the Flower Bowl. You know, maybe I was just picturing a rerun of that, hoping that that thing's set up for her. And then I have Mean Mary in the third spot.
All right. Between you, I'm trying to think of who it was. You and Nick surprised me a little bit. Nick Tamaro. He likes Civil Union, and I know Mike Beer picked her as well. So there's some interest in her, and you know, part of the appeal of her in this spot is absolutely the price. You know, but honestly, given the depth of this field and the way the money is going to spread around, I really thought Magic Attitude and particularly Magic Attitude, and I mean, I think Thundering Knights comes down from the 6-1 number. But Magic Attitude, I think you'll get every bit of that 6-1, and you know, she's kind of dirtied up from a form but from a, you know, connection standpoint with Delacour and Trevor McCarthy. I mean, that isn't, you know, it's not a pairing that you know, is an auto bet for people. I mean, there's a ton of that goes on.
And she's a you know, affiliate that obviously has a ton of class, running in Group Ones in Europe. You know, as a 3-year-old last year, and just last year, man. And if you get that 6-1, like you said, that could be, you know, that isn't a common pairing that you maybe see get hammered in New York a lot, but obviously Arno is very capable and wins races like this a lot, and Trevor's having a good year. Yeah, if Magic Attitude is 6-1, that's a great play, in my opinion, especially in this race. I mean, you gotta catch a price, I think. Can't settle for something short.
Let's turn to Saturday then, and I'll send the link. Yeah. Actually, I'll do that right now. I'll send the link out for everybody so they can look at the Friday selections from thisishorseracing.com and the team.
Yeah.
And certainly if a wider audience isn't familiar with John Chapazian, they should be, and certainly by Saratoga, we'll make sure that John is literally the annual leader when it comes to ROI and win percentage in terms of analysis and tabs at the spa, but he does a good job year round. So be aware of your favorite Armenian handicapper.
yeah, he is. I do picks every year. I have since 2013 in the special, and prior to that, I did them for the Pink Sheet way back to my days starting out and kind of continued on. And I mean, you know, I feel like maybe a couple days into the meet, I might be ahead of him. And it's kind of, that's like my badge of honor. And it never lasts. I'm not sure how far I've ever gotten where I was like in front of him. And then I feel like he'll have six winners on a Saturday and I'll have five and thought I had a good day. And then the next day he'll come back with four or five more and I'll be down four or five, and then I'll be chasing the whole meet. In my mind, probably, you know, thinking I have no chance, but in my heart, I'm trying, I'm digging in, you know. But, I mean, he is just lights out. I mean, just, I can't remember the last time he didn't finish on top of all the public handicappers in the area. I know he hasn't won it every single year since he's been doing it in the special, but he certainly does it almost every year in the special, for sure. Gail Fitzgerald, who was a handicapper for us a few years ago, actually beat him one year in our paper, which was a shock. And but John is he'll be in his usual top spot, I'm sure, once we get rolling here in July in Saratoga. So yeah,
well,
he
we'll
loves
get him.
He loves the Central Quality. Yeah, in the Belmont. That's his pick. But, you know, for what that's worth, he's leaning on the favorite. So
that's all right.
Can't really knock it. No, not at all.
No. Let's talk about Belmont, Tom, and give us a rundown what what your key plays are over the course of Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the Belmont itself is really interesting race, I think, you know, with Rock Your World, I guess, going to be the one handling the pace, maybe with Hot Rod Charlie and the Central Quality kind of right behind him. And then, you know, Ron Bauer, kind of known agenda, and, you know, maybe Bourbonic and Overtook kind of sitting behind them. You know, real tactical kind of race with only eight in the field. You know, Central Quality obviously is, you know, I'm not breaking any new ground saying he's the horse to beat. I mean, just so consistent, and he ran his race in the Derby after, you know, a little bit of a troubled trip and, you know, only getting beat a length. You know, if he runs back to his better races or even to his Derby, he's going to be tough, you know. You know, a lot of people are high on Hot Rod Charlie. They were high on him in the Derby, and rightfully so. He ran a very strong race in there as well. And it's going to be tough. I picked Known Agenda. I liked him in the Derby, and you know, just kind of a no excuse ninth. I mean, not a great run. He kind of was off a little bit slow. I was expecting, you know, Irad Ortiz to be kind of aggressive with him in here. It's unfortunate. Obviously, Irad is out and hurt. I'm glad he's okay after that incident yesterday. And from what I understand, the last I heard, you may know better than I, Steve, you're on the ground, that they still didn't have a rider lined up yet. But there's certainly plenty of capable guys out there. And I'm just expecting maybe a better performance. I mean, his Florida Derby was a real good race. in another race like that, I think makes him very competitive in here. You know, and at 6-1, maybe a little bit of an upset. And Todd Pletcher's strong year in his Hall of Fame season continues. You know, won the Oak with Malapat, and maybe he wins the Belmont too for his fourth Belmont win. That's who I like in here. I mean, maybe I'm reaching a little bit to try to get past Essential Quality and Ron Bauer. It's hard to knock Ron Bauer either. His race in the Preakness, I really like the fact that they won the Preakness and they said, we're going on to the Belmont. Let's go. And then they shipped him right from Baltimore to New York. Whitey McCarthy, has done a great job with this horse and seems to have settled in well there at Belmont and, picks up Johnny. Can't go wrong there. So, it's a real good race. Some people were asking me the other day, like, I can't believe they only got 8. And I said, they had maybe 10, 11 they were thinking about. But, these 8, I mean, who else do we really want in here? Medina Spirit maybe and Mandaloon are really the only two that are missing that you would say.
Well, Midnight Bourbon, I would have liked to have seen go on with one more, but I understood. Mm-hmm. I understood Ron Winchell and Asmussen's, rebooting and
he ran a really strong race. I thought in the Preakness to hang on to be second the way he did, attending the pace and just kind of being right there, but still sticking around at the end to hold second, a clear second in there. Ran a really good race. He's the kind of horse maybe that, you can see in the Jim Dandy and Travers, really making some noise in either of those races. Steve will probably get him up here, a little early, like he often does. Some of his string that he's going to bring to Saratoga, get out there in the Oklahoma, the new look Oklahoma this year, and get going with him. So shaping up for hopefully a good second half of the season for the 3-year-old division.
Agreed. And there's actually, of course, the emergent, there's also these emergent late developing 3-year-olds. And in fact, I've been texting, frankly, with Todd, trying to get some answers.
Yeah.
One thing that I don't know if anybody, I didn't see it, so I asked them directly. Today, you can take Always Shopping out of the New York in favor of the Just a Game tomorrow.
Yeah. So speaking of Todd, I don't know if this is news, but somebody said he's very, very high on his horse in the first race tomorrow.
That's
$575,000. Yeah, favored.
Going to be a big clocker push as well.
Yeah. But I may have even heard, I don't know if he said it or somebody said maybe his best 2-year-old since Uncle Mo, which I thought was a pretty strong statement. But he is 8-5, and like you said, he's not exactly been a secret in the morning for sure. But that's the first there at 11:35. So we'll have an early start to the day, not as early as the other Triple Crown races, which I'm kind of thankful for. Yeah, appreciate the little bit of time in the morning to kind of take care of some other things, get a run in, and maybe have a early lunch, and then kind of get rolling.
Tom, what else on the card attracts your interest the most tomorrow?
Well, I think the going back to the grass, I guess maybe looking at the rerun in the Manhattan, the rematch between Domestic Spending and Colonel Liam, kind of for the leadership in the older male turf division. And then you got Gufo in there with Channel Cat. It's kind of an interesting race where you have horses kind of coming out of the Man of War, shortening up, and then you have other ones coming out of the Fort Marcy, kind of stretching out a little bit to the Mount a Quarter. I love that Mount a Quarter race at Belmont on the inner, kind of cool, two-turn sort of turf race down there. I think Domestic Spending, maybe Chad thought he was a little bit further back than he expected in the Turf Classic. I kind of talked to him a little bit after the Derby about that, and still was just really rolling at the end to get up for the dead heat. You know, and Colonel Liam, of course, extends his win streak, you know, with the dead heat to four. You know, it's a really another really strong grass race like today's New York. And then, you know, of course, the Met Mile. again, you got six in here, but what a group, you know. You know, Dr. Post was really impressive in his comeback. Obviously, a horse that likes Belmont ran good to Funny Side to Tis the Law in last year's Belmont. Hmm. And, you know, Nick's Go coming back. I mean, kind of the, you know, could really kind of assert himself into the older division. If he were to win here, he'd have the Pegasus and the Met Mile on his resume pretty strong. And, you know, I'm kind of rooting for by my standards a little bit. You know, Brett Calhoun's a guy that's been real good to our team at the special. And, you know, he's a horse that, you know, he hasn't quite gotten there in the grade one race, but maybe he does have a grade one on his resume. You know, maybe he has one with his name on it, and hopefully maybe it's the Met Mile. But, you know, I didn't even mention Mischievous Alex and Silver State. Just a real strong race. Those last three races, the Met Mile, the Manhattan, and the Belmont, you know, as good a race as you could really want on a big day. Real good, you know. Looking forward to them.
Well, Tom, I appreciate it, and sorry that I guess we'll just wait to see you. We'll certainly going to get a regular visits in person at Saratoga, obviously with all of you, with Sean and right. Joe as well. And once we get Triple Crown done, we can address a lot of the, you know, the other issues that are pressing that don't seem to abate by any stretch,
yeah.
And are well covered. This is horseracing.com. So
the game is good, I guess, for journalists and guys like us. We always have something. There's always something around every corner, good or bad. It's good for the journalism business. Good for guys with barrels of ink, for lack of a better phrase. So, yeah, we're looking forward to Saratoga, though. It'll be great.
Tom Law, everybody, from the Saratoga Special this summer, and Joe Clancy, Sean Clancy. We'll get Triple Crown wrap-up comments from all three next week, and visit thisishorseracing.com. I just retweeted the link to it for their analysis, and you can look back to it tomorrow. And, of course, remember that past results are no guarantee of future success. Tom, thanks a lot. We're going to take the bottom of the hour break, our only break of the morning. Dave Grenig is going to join us. And I thought Dave was going to come here, and I had his bagel waiting, hot bagel. But he's begging off for in person. We're just going to do it on the phone with Dave instead. Nick Tamaro will be here, though, our 3, and Dave O'Rourke, president of the New York Racing Association, on the last half hour to kind of get a feel for where things are as we emerge from the pandemic and look ahead. Being people coming to Belmont for the first time in whatever, however long, you'll be greeted by the new Islanders Arena, UBS Arena. It's can only imagine inside when that opportunity comes around. But from the exterior, it's a pretty impressive building, and it ideally is going to, you know, make for a vibrant neighbor and companion to Belmont Park. Let's take a break here. Bottom of the hour, Dave Grenig joins us next. Nick Tamaro ahead, Dave O'Rourke, and maybe more. I see the photographers are out there, and I see that we also have got the scratch sheet up, and we can go over that as well with Dave and some other comments. And, of course, Dave having to and Mike Welch around and Marcus Hirsch on site reacting to a lot of the news and things that have kind of been hot and heavy here in the last 24 hours. Back after this to Belmont Park. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. About 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and if anybody wants Dave Grenig's egg everything bagel with cream cheese, it's sitting here unclaimed. I wrote him this morning. I said, "There's literally a bagel with your name on it."
Well, maybe I'll have to get that. Maybe I'll have to jump on the elevator and get down there. After all, I just figured if I doing it on the phone, you could have more time because it would take time for me to get to the elevator. And then
that's
get
true. That's true, and it is a schlep. I mean, for those that have ever been upstairs, I mean, it's the press box is on the sixth floor and down a ways, and then the elevator, two different elevators. It's a whole thing. Or you can take an elevator that lets you out on the grandstand side, and then you come out of the building. It's a whole compass.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is a maze. You need a compass. Dave, you actually need a compass and a protractor to keep track of everything that's gone on. None more important than Arad Ortiz losing an opportunity to ride in almost every single stake today and tomorrow.
Yeah, but the good news is
he's okay.
He's in good shape. I just hung up with his agent, who said that he FaceTimed him this morning and said he actually feels pretty good. He's got 6 stitches in his arm and 5 in his head. Probably missed about 2 weeks just because they don't want the stitches to get dirt in them and, any sort of infection. He does not have a concussion or any type of head injury, cerebral type thing. So all in all, I'd say he's doing just fine.
It was a very strange, for those that didn't see it, it was very odd. I mean, here was Chad's runner that was absolutely cruising to victory, and she didn't duck out. At first, people thought maybe she ducked and dropped a shoulder, but it was more a question of really an authentic odd step that I think took him by surprise.
I talked to Chad this morning. He said she sort of just, when she switched over to her right lead, she just kind of stumbled and tripped herself and the way in which it kind of happened is she goes sort of down and then props back up, and then when she came back up in that sudden motion, she sort of catapulted Irad off the horse, and then, you know, that's when it got scary because the trailing horse kicked him in the helmet, and I think he might have also got stepped on the arm, which created the wound that needed the stitches. But, you know, that helmet, you know, whoever makes that brand of helmet, they're going to get a lot of business.
We talked to Mike.
The horse is okay, by the way. She was gathered. She was caught, and he said there's not a scratch. You know, there's a couple of cuts, but nothing major. You know, I'm sure she'll be in the next maiden race at 1-9 next time.
The other story from Thursday, before we talk about the whole weekend, Following C, making the first start in the Todd Pletcher barn after being moved by Spendthrift. And, you know, obviously there's, you know, more yet to be determined ramifications for the Baffert barn. Losing this horse is a ramification because this is obviously a talent.
Yes, and that change was made during Preakness week. That horse was actually going to run in the Chick Lang Stakes.
Right.
And as a prep for what was going to be the Woody Stevens, they decided to take the horse and other horses that they had. Spencer decided to take horses that they had, this one and other horses they had with Bob, and move them. This one obviously went to Todd Fletcher. They left it up to Todd as far as what to do. And by the way, I just see the buyer now. Got 100 buyer for that performance. I just happened to see it. I don't know if it's been, I had been looking for it. And they moved it to Todd with the idea that, look, train the horse. We'd like to make the Woody Stevens if possible, but I think, you know, from Todd's standpoint, it was like, if we can find this other than it's a long year, we can get to the Alan Jerkins, I'm sure, some way. Now, he mentioned to me this morning that he'll look to stretch the horse out to a mile in the Dwyer, and I guess we'll see a little bit, which is July 5th. We actually are racing on Monday, July 5th for some reason, and that's when Following C will make his next start. But an awesome performance, won by 6.5. 15-1, and again got the 100 buyer,
the magical 100 buyer. And I'm glad you answered the question regarding the Amsterdam and
well, it sounds like the Dwyer before, I mean,
or Dwyer,
you know, the Dwyer, and you know, which is a mile race, and then I guess
right,
sort of you know, see what happens there and make your, you know, race selections off that.
From there, we should include the situation regarding replacements for Irad, and actually Todd just got back to me. They do not have riders yet for the Manhattan or for the Belmont. So Colonel Liam and Known Agenda, no decisions yet for replacements in the Pletcher camp, and I didn't ask about Moretti, but we'll just wait and watch.
I have 13 horses that come tomorrow, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm only at 5 replacements at this point in time. So for the Sappy Joseph horses, Drain the Clock in the Woody Stevens, mischievous Alex in that mile, that will be Jose Ortiz.
It will be. Okay.
I believe search results will be Javier. This isn't confirmed yet. I believe Miss Brazil, if it plays out the way I understand things are going to play out, is I believe Miss Brazil is coming out of the Acorn to run in the Jersey Girl. And then I believe that frees up Javier to ride search results in the Acorn.
Hmm.
You mentioned Moretti. Javier will ride Moretti. While he didn't, in the second race tomorrow, I believe it's an allowance race, might be a maiden race, Flavian Pratt will ride Soft Power for Chad. While he didn't confirm this, I was just looking at the list of riders. I would be surprised for Colonel Liam if it's anybody other than Luis Saez, with you know, not knowing if there's going to be any scratches at this point. Yeah, we'll see what the weather does today and see if anybody changes their mind based on course conditions. But I would have to think that Luis Saez has an excellent chance to pick up Colonel Liam. And as he told you, he told me regarding Known Agenda that he would most likely not make a final decision until tomorrow. I guess that's also pending making sure all the horses that currently have jockeys, and I'm thinking he's thinking Rombauer with Johnny D, and, you know, just making sure that everybody makes it to, you know, tomorrow, that he'll still have a plethora of people to choose from. including Jose Ortiz, Javier Castellano, and Mike Smith. Those, to me, are the three, not necessarily in that order, per se, potentially in that order, but those are the three jockeys. I see one of those three winding up on the agenda.
Have you, haven't heard from Fausto Gutierrez?
I have not. I was leading that to Mr. Welsh, and I don't know if he's got him. I don't know. I would imagine Jose would be on that one. I can't say today. Jose Ortiz will ride for Ren's Fire.
Yes.
Flavian Pratt will ride Virginia Joy. Chubb Wagon is scratching out of the Bed of Roses. I do not know who's going to be on Conviction Trade in the Belmont Gold Cup.
There you go, everybody. You're up to speed on the IRAD lost opportunities, but a gain for in probably about a third, it looks like, at least, for Jose. So it stays in the family to some extent. We'll see what... and by the way, speaking of family, the image of Jose jogging, running up the stretch, and kind of honestly, it looked, Dave, like, you know, sheepishly peeking around. I think he was scared to death that, you know, of you know how IRAD might be, but that was a distressing, you know, 15 minutes, to say the least.
It was. It was. You know, I think what happened there, Junior, who also wound up going down there, Junior's horse, Brooks Edge, I believe it was, clipped, you know, IRAD in the head. And I'm sure when Junior told Jose that, that got Jose on his horse, so to speak, to you know, jog down the stretch and see how, you know, see how things were going.
A great job by Junior, actually, to avoid, I mean, literally... you know, trampling him. I mean, that he was able to even maneuver that quickly shows you, you know, just how adroit these guys are and how they can get the horses to respond, because it could have been worse. That's the bottom line. And also, speaking of could have been worse, Dave, the weather situation could have been worse. And for those that aren't somehow seeing what's going on here, the sun is trying to burn its way through the haze, and right now, this track, it looks like, if somehow the rain avoids us again, this track looks like it could be fast at some point this afternoon.
Potentially. It kind of looks, I don't know, it looks ugly to me right now, but I'd say it'd start out muddy-ish. What's it, 10:49, we got 2 hours. So I'd say it starts out on the muddy side, gets the good by... you know, middle of the card, and then, like you said, it potentially could potentially get the fast if we don't have any more rain, which, you know, I don't know what these weather folks are saying, so I don't know.
Well, and the turf-wise, we're looking at, you know, there's probably yielding, and there's probably a couple of soft spots out there, but, you know, yielding good, going to be nice, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like it was that soft yesterday, but, you know, the fractions were, I don't know.
That's what I said. Yep, I said the same thing.
You know, when the rails are that far out, I don't think they get accurate times. That's just my opinion. You know, maybe that's something Hissett can work on.
Zing! Dave, before we talk about the Saturday action, any final strokes about the Friday card? You mentioned Chubb Wagon. Petey Bianchi is out as well. Always Shopping comes out of the New York to run tomorrow in the Just a Game. Other than that, the two-year-olds, Little Drama, a major scratch coming out of the Tremont. And Jim Chapman takes out one of his two horses, the higher-priced Rising Outlaw. So we've got a four-pack in the Tremont. But other than that, we're pretty clean.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that's a major, you know, the two-year-old getting down to a four-horse field is kind of brutal, but... yeah, I guess that's where. And yeah, so the Bed of Roses is what, five? No, one, two, three, four,
six.
Six, yeah, kind of, yeah. The New York, look, the New York is the best race, maybe on the whole weekend. If you want the truth, I thought that race came up super. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some Europeans show up in California in November, but yeah, this is almost a mini Breeders' Cup Billy Mare Turf. It's a great field, even with the scratch of Always Shopping, who, like you said, runs in the Just a Game tomorrow. It's a fabulous race. I'm just hoping that it doesn't rain anymore before they run this race. I know Arnold Delacour, the trainer of Magic Attitude, is of the same mindset. You know, he doesn't have to be firm, but he doesn't want it to be too soft. I like that filly a lot. Really loved her race here last year in the Belmont Oaks. And her race in the Sheepshead Bay was also terrific, closing from well back off a slow pace. She didn't run that well in the Hillsboro. I don't know how many people will be able to see how she acts in the paddock, but Delacour said that prior to the Tampa Bay race, she was a bit nervous in the paddock. And, he thought she'd maybe left her race there. And yet she was only beaten two lengths, a length and three quarters. So I like her. I like Harvey's Little Goyle and Virginia Joy and some sort of exacta boxer.
The Better Roses, even with Chubb, and actually not just even, but with Chubb Wagon out, loses, what was the obvious controlling speed or potentially runaway speed. This has got to be, this deck has got to be reshuffled now.
Yeah, you have to, you're going to have to look at it with a little bit different eye. Victim of Love, perhaps, could maybe become, the forward factor. She did win an allowance race at Laurel back in the, last fall, or sorry, two falls ago, as the main speed. I know that Shug's filly can show speed when at times. It's going to be interesting. I'm thinking that Rosaria might say, I'm just going to go try and take charge of this race from the outset.
Let's
she
turn to Saturday.
On a wet track also, so she could handle some moisture in the ground, which I would still think would be in there by race 8.
Probably. That's true. I do see they've got the great all out there. It's not really taking much off the rail. Just a very, very light grading right now. Dave, also before we switch to Saturday, what's your true north take?
Track condition, very big play there, too. I mean, Brentsfire doesn't really like moisture in the ground. Hopefully it'll be, I don't know what that's going to be like, what the track will be like at that time. This is a pretty wide open race. If it's not him, I don't know who you go to. It's kind of a wide open race. I don't know what to do with Flagstaff, to be honest with you. His last two have been very good. I don't know that I'd want to take the short price there. Maybe I'll throw Flyerwood looking at Bikinis. His comeback race was good. He's 3-for-3 at Belmont. He's definitely, if you cross off the Travers and the Curlin, his record would be better. It looks like when Chad took him back up to Saratoga after that allowance race, he's continued to train forward. So why not looking at Bikinis?
All right. Let's turn to Saturday, and let's work backwards from the feature. And what was your final analysis in the Belmont?
I landed on Hot Rod Charlie. I think he's going to get a good stalking trip right off of, provided everybody leaves the way they're supposed to leave. I would think he would wind up following Rock Your World. I'm curious to see how Essential Quality's ridden from post two. He has been close before. In Breeders' Futurity was close, and in the Bluegrass he was, pretty close. So it'd be interesting. This pace is going to be slower. By the way, as they're about to come by you, but their track is getting sealed right now. Coming to the finish line, at least one tractor is coming by. I don't see the rest of them. But I went, Hot Rod Charlie. I liked his last work visually from the clip that they showed from San Anita. In the Derby, I thought he was, got a little hairy there first going under the wire the first time. He had to kind of sneak his way between horses. If he gets a cleaner break, I think he'll be even more forwardly placed than he was then. And I think it's a galloper's race, and I think he might be the top galloper.
I don't disagree, and my inclination. I'm using Essential, Ron Bauer, and Hot Rod Charlie as the A's, and I think when I finish up after the show and fill out the grid on on the Saturday analysis. Hot Rod Charlie is going to find himself on top. It's also a great story, and there's a lot going on. They're running to raise money as well for Stephen Panis's late son from University of South Carolina, and there's a lot of frankly a lot of emotion tied to the Rock Your World, the Hot Rod Charlie storyline. I'm using Overtook, Dave. I told you this the other morning on Monday. I from a pedigree standpoint, there's just been too many horses like this that show up here that are running 80 buyers and are meant for 12 furlongs and don't get the opportunity. I think putting the blinkers on helps. I'm picking him third for some value boost.
Look, anytime anyone questions your a pick by anybody in the Belmont Stakes, I just have three words to them: commendable, Dottara, Sarava. If those three could win the Belmont, Overtook and finish third in the Belmont. So look, I'm never crossing anybody off the list. I'm not with you. I do not share your sentiment on that horse. But I would never say, "Are you crazy?" Because I remember in 2008, I was the last. There were two people left in the paddock when the horses all left. It was Robert LaPenta and me. And I said to Robert, "What do you think?" And he just looked at me and said, "Anybody but Big Brown." And then when I saw him after the race, I said, "You didn't tell me you were going to be the body." good luck. I hope he runs third for you and you have the other two on top. I hope him being third is not the only part of the race you're right about, especially if you're going to pick Hot Rod Charlie on top.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. All right, let's work backwards. Some Manhattan thoughts where it does feel, listening and reading tea leaves and taking pulses, that domestic spending and Colonel Liam, if people want to tiptoe through this in multi-race wagers, and then there's a couple of, obviously Gaffoe is a quality animal. The other Chads and... Sisterson shocked weeks ago. There's some other nice horses, but it does feel like the top choices are a cut above.
I'm a big domestic spending fan. I love the way he's trained here since the Turf Classic, which he's obviously dead heated with Colonel Liam. I'm maybe a tick more confident in Colonel in domestic spending's ability to get a mile and a quarter. My one concern would be pace. I don't see a ton of pace here. I don't know what they're going to, unless Tribhuvan is going to do that runoff course like he was in the Ford Marcy. I don't know if that's the way he just ran that particular day or if that's the way they want him to run. Other than that, I see Channel Cat being solidly placed and he was dangerous last time. I don't think they're going to just let him have things his own way. But just based on what I've seen from domestic spending since the Turf Classic, I have to go there. That's where I would go. I'm a Gufo fan. This horse, and because he always shows up, he never not runs his race. He's 5 for 9. Maybe he's, 2.5 lengths away from being 9 for 9, something like that. He got beaten a length and a half in his debut, and he's been beaten the head, nose, and neck in his three losses. So that horse always shows up. I would not leave him off any type of tickets that I would use. And then I guess Masterpiece is stepping up in class here. But he's a wild card to me. I think he'll be a price, and I think they'll run well.
The Metropolitan we didn't get a lot of bodies. We talked about this on Monday, Brad Cox and Nick Scow, feel like the controlling. The controlling player, but there's shots here. There's a second time 4-year old option in Dr. Post, who's going to be squarely priced. Silver State. Watching back to the Oaklawn performance, feels like a horse that might be emergent that way as well. I like that By My Standards shows up here. I think that was very clever. and Mischievous Alex quality, although I talked to Mike yesterday, Dave, and we stressed the fact that he's noted in the weeks since the Carter that Mischievous Alex hasn't necessarily been as sharp into this as he was into the Carter.